Good morning, Covenant Church family. Welcome to worship this morning as we gather together to seek the Lord. We welcome Heather and Ray Bugnacki and Karen Gill and Linnea Bugnacki this morning. How wonderful it is to have you here among us again. Liz, it is great to have you back among us. And the flowers this morning are given by Liz in memory of her son, David. Oh, go ahead, Liz. Yep.
I want to thank everybody for all of your thoughts, prayers, and kind deeds and words to me in the past week or so, and I am 200% better than I was a week ago or before I went in. So I thank you for the good Lord blessing me and for all of you also. Thank you.
We welcome also this morning Kevin Selch from the Gideons. He's here to share with us this morning about the Gideons ministry. If you have any pastoral needs during this time before Pastor Stephanie arrives, please see John Badosky, Church Chair, or you can see me as well. A couple of prayer updates. One is for Linda Lawrence. Most of you probably received an email about Linda. She was out in California visiting her daughter, Laura, and fell and broke her leg and had surgery this week to put a plate in and connect it to her replaced knee. So she's out. Laura is due with her first child in 4 weeks, and so Linda is really feeling like she might be a burden on Laura. So please pray for Linda's recovery and for Laura, and also for the healthy arrival of Laura and her husband's first baby. If you are a church member, please make every effort to stay for the quarterly business meeting today at 11:30. So remember, quarterly business meeting at 11:30. So let's quiet our hearts and lift our eyes now as we worship the Lord. Please stand for the call to worship.
Praise be to you, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ.
For you chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in your sight.
In love, you predestined us to be adopted as your children through Jesus Christ, in accordance with the pleasure, with your pleasure and will.
To the praise of your glorious grace, which you have freely given us and the one you love.
In him we have redemption through his blood and forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of your grace that you lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding.
And you made known to us the mystery of your will, according to your good pleasure, which you purposed.
Joyful, joyful.
Pray with me, please. We praise you this morning, God. You who created the universe, the earth, and skies are holy. We fall to our knees before you when we see your marvelous works, the stars set in place by your hands on a deep, dark night, the snow-capped mountains, the crystal-clear mountain streams, the ocean waves crashing to shore. You are holy, and we, along with the seraphim in heaven, call out, "Holy, holy, holy is the God of the angel armies. The whole earth is filled with his glory." God, fill us, your church, with your Holy Spirit, that we may know and fulfill your purposes here in Thomaston and in the neighborhoods where we live and the places we work. May you be glorified by us, your people. Lord, we ask that you be with Linda Lawrence as she heals from her surgery in California, and please provide everything she and Laura need so Linda will not feel she is a burden to Laura. We pray also for the safe arrival of Laura's baby at exactly the right time. Please be with Pastor Stephanie this week. Delight her with your word and your faithfulness and your guidance. Give her rest in the midst of the busyness of moving. Prepare us and help us to prepare to receive her well into our church family. We ask that you would continue to heal Liz Montambo from her surgery and Dave McClay's arm, which is still not strong, and my mom Margaret's broken arm and the blood clot. Please be with Dave McClay's daughter, Marissa, who was hit in Dave's van by a car and has a concussion and now does not have a place to live, Lord, now that the van is damaged. We pray that you would prepare a place for her to live. Please be with all who are still struggling, whose lives are not easy, or who struggle with depression. Lord, may each one of us reach out to someone this week to check in and encourage them, that we may truly be your church. Let's join together now in the prayer that Jesus taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Good morning. Good morning. The Old Testament reading this morning is Haggai chapter 2, verses 7 through 9, which is found on page 768 in your pew Bible. I will shake all nations, and what is desired by all nations will come, and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord Almighty. The silver is mine and the gold is mine, declares the Lord Almighty. The glory of this present house will be greater than the glory of the former house, says the Lord Almighty. And in this place I will grant peace, declares the Lord Almighty. The New Testament reading this morning is 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, found on page 928 in your pew Bible. Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy that person, for God's temple is holy, and you are that temple. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Oh. Good morning, everyone. It's so great to be back. I'd just like to open up in prayer. The word that I heard in this last song, be still and know, okay? What's the difference between believing and knowing? Have you ever thought about that? You know, what's the difference between believing and knowing? Anybody want a guitar pick? Difference between believing and knowing is direct experience. You know, scripture says, you know, talks about faith is believing things that are unseen as if they are seen. But the word of God is saying, be still and know. So the Lord's calling us to kick it up a notch. So this morning, let's open up in prayer. Let's be still. Lord God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your plans that you have for us. Your plans are good. Your plans are so that we would prosper. Lord Jesus, we ask for a greater revelation of who you are, Lord. Lord, we know that knowing you is salvation. Knowing you will bring us to a place of peace and rest, that we can be still and we will know that you are Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, it's so great to be back. This morning in sharing, I just want to give you a little heads up. I'm gonna jump in and out of some Hebrew letters. Our bio is at the back of the bulletin. You may have read it and said, what is mem? What is mem gathering? Well, mem is a letter in the Hebrew alphabet. It's like an alphabet, right? It's the Hebrew alphabet. Mem is at the center of the Hebrew alphabet. Mem, there's a final mem and a normative mem. The final mem is a closed mem. It's like a circle. It's closed. And the normative mem is an open mem. And the Hebrews believe that the open mem speaks of revelation that's easily found. You know, we could see the mysteries of God in so many different places, and it's very easily found. You could see it, and so, oh yeah, I could see God in that. But then there's another mystery, the mem that is closed. It takes some effort. It takes some perseverance. It takes some time to push it a little bit further. So what is mem? Mem also represents water. In the Hebrew language, mem means water. Okay? It's an open revelation and a closed revelation. Every Hebrew letter also has a numerical value. And if you were to think of how God would put things together and piece things together like a blueprint, where he has every connection, he has the schematic, and he's able to put it together. If it was water, what number do you think God would give a value to mem? But 40. Isn't that interesting? 40. How many weeks is the baby in the womb, in the water? 40 weeks. How long did it rain for Noah's Ark? 40. So the beauty of the Hebrew language is every letter is a piece of the recipe. So like if you were to have an apple pie, right? And you were to sit down and eat an apple pie, you could just begin to think of what you're tasting. You may taste a nutmeg. You may taste a cinnamon. And if you're really good, you'll be able to taste and figure out which apples they used in the pie. The Hebrew language is beautiful, and it's really powerful because when you think of a letter, every letter is a picture, and every picture tells a story. It's really amazing because as you put these letters together, you can get the flavor of what the word carries by the letters that are used and put together. You know, we study the Word of God for so long, and we hear ideas about, you know, the Word of God speak. We just heard it this morning. We also heard about the Gideon Bible, the Word of God going out. And the Word never does return void. It always brings back what it's been sent out to do. You know, the beautiful thing about the Word of God is that, you know, when John released the revelation of the Word of God in the Gospel of John, he said, in the beginning was the Word, right? In the beginning was the Word. Everything that was created by him, the Word of God, right? It was spoken. Well, the Hebrews believe that. The Jews believe that. They believe that God put the Hebrew letters together, they arced, and they created matter. Wow, isn't that interesting? What letters do you think God used to put together to make fish? That's a mystery. Very powerful. God had a plan and he pieced it all together perfectly, and we're in that plan. So when we sit here today, it's pretty amazing because we went into the Hebrew alphabet around the time of COVID. And, you know, we were gathering at our house. We had a lot of people coming, worship going on, people interceding and praying. It was a beautiful time. But all of a sudden, something happened. All the churches all over the world shut down. Guess what? We found ourselves in a place of being still. Wow. So who would think that maybe there was a shift in the way things were running that was going to change, right? One other time that happened, when Jesus went to the cross, and when he died on the cross, it says that the curtain of the temple was torn. Do you ever think about that? What was God's plan? Well, David, being a worshiping shepherd, out in the fields, taking care of the sheep, protecting the sheep, leading them, you know, to the waters and feeding them, he had a time with the Lord. He worshiped, he sang, little shepherd boy, full of joy, full of, you know, life. He went through and God gave him a blueprint. He gave him a blueprint for a temple. Because he was going to take that relationship that he had and bring it to the world. He was going to take that connection that he had with God and multiply it so others could experience what he was experiencing. And you know, the beautiful thing about the temple, if you were to think of what God used to build that temple, it's mind-blowing. You know, from the gold to the bronze to the brass to the stones, the gems, jasper, onyx. And then not only that, God gave David, who was going to be the craftsman to build this temple. This temple was a marvel. It was to be a place where God would meet with man, where man would come and connect with their God. So now we move a little bit forward in Jesus on the cross. And the curtain was torn. Then all of a sudden, all these people were standing there, just like with us at COVID. It's like, oh, the church doors are closed. They showed up at the temple. They said they prayed in the temple's courts daily. Could you imagine what that must have been like? Standing at the temple courts, maybe wind blowing and seeing the curtain torn. Maybe the shutters hanging off. I don't know. What were they thinking? What was happening in there, it's not happening anymore. What changed? What did Jesus come to do? Prophets talked about the plan of God. He said that the former temple would be greater than the temple that is now. And not only that, the temple that would be built would be a temple built, not made with hands. It would be a temple that a man, a craftsman, would not put together. But it would be a greater temple. Isn't that something? What would you think? Like, what are we going to do now? You're standing outside the temple. The curtains are flowing. You're like, Jesus died, rose from the dead. Yeah, there were some saints that were walking, you know, throughout the town. The risen saints, they were walking through the town. Something happened. What happened to me? This morning when you got up and you came to church, let me ask you, what were you thinking about? What were you connecting with? These are questions that need to be talked about each and every day, and we want to be aware of God's plan, his design. What is he doing? Because there was never another point in time where all the churches across the world were closed down. What was going on? What was the vision focus being changed to? Or still being changed, I don't know. What are we looking at? Because I know at the House of Prayer, we shifted. Heather was teaching the kids. We were going into the Hebrew letters, the Hebrew alphabet. And every morning she would share with me a letter. And I'm like, oh my goodness, this is amazing. And we got further and further into it. And every time she would share with me a letter, I'm like, my mind was being blown. And as we got further, we wanted to change the name of the House of Prayer to the Mem Gathering. And you might wonder, well, why is that? Well, through pictures and dreams and other things, God gave us the Mem, the water. But not only that, I'm going to refer to something that's absolutely beautiful. When Jesus said, I am the truth, the life and the way. And the only way to get to the Father is through me. He said, I am truth. I'm going to share with you how you spell that word in Hebrew. It's Aleph, the very first letter of the Hebrew alphabet, Mem, the center, the deep mysteries of God, and Tav, the very end, the cross. Jesus was thinking like a Hebrew would think. And when he spoke these words, he knew exactly what he was saying. He said, I am truth. I am the full expanse of the Hebrew alphabet. Every letter is a facet of who the Father is and who I am. Every letter. But not only that, when Jesus was saying, I am the truth, he was also saying, I am reality. And apart from me, there is no reality. So the question is, what are you thinking? Jesus is the truth. And apart from him, whatever we're thinking and whatever we're doing, we need to bring it under the submission of the Word of God. The Word of God is truth. It's a reality. It's a true matrix that we step into the kingdom of heaven. It's amazing because when Jesus was talking with some Jewish leaders, Jesus was asking, was asked by the Jewish religious leaders, when will the kingdom of God come? And Jesus responded, God's kingdom does not come by simply obeying principles or waiting for signs. The kingdom of God is discovered in one place, not found in one place or another. For the kingdom realm is already expanding within some of you. Now, this is before Jesus even went into the cross. He's standing there in the flesh. He's speaking. The word of God is speaking. Ears are hearing. The kingdom is advancing in the hearts of men. Isn't that something? That while Jesus was standing there, there was something awakening in the heart of the human. That the kingdom was opening up to people. Absolutely mind-blowing. There's a guy that I love. He wrote a book called Growing Supernatural. His name is Joe Dispenza. He says this. He said, if there was a place where God was going to hide, where would he hide? Where would he hide? He said he would hide in the hearts of men because that will be the last place they will look. Isn't that interesting? Be still and know. It's not just believing, but it's a knowing. What do we know? There's a message that needs to go out, that the system has changed. At the cross, Jesus made a whole way of doing things. He put in a whole new operating system. It's not artificial intelligence, that's artificial. It's true intelligence. It's true wisdom. It's the Word of God. So what did Jesus do? You know, they were going to the temple, the curtains were flying in the wind, and they're standing there like, whoa, do you remember that God would find his inhabitants in the heart of men? That he would find his resting place in us? That the deep waters of mystery would be within the heart of people? Wow, that changes everything. Joe Dispenza also wrote another book. It's really powerful. He's called We Are the Placebo. You know, it's very interesting about a placebo. A placebo is, you know, it's like they take a sugar pill. They say, oh, you have a headache, take a sugar pill, right? And the interesting thing about taking the sugar pill doesn't do anything. But the person that takes it, all of a sudden, they get healed. And he says, you know what that tells you? That you already have the capacity inside of you for your body to make exactly what it needs when it needs it. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. Solomon's temple. We're greater than Solomon's temple. If you were to think of how we were made, you know, we're going so far into AI, but we still don't even know how the brain operates. We only have bits and pieces of how the human is able to operate. We're told, I know, you know, I was a truck driver for several years, and the big goal was to get our retirement so that we can go retire. And then it was programmed into every worker that, hey, you know, 65, you could retire. And then after that, what happens? How many of you guys know that God has a better plan than the Teamsters have? Really? That's a good thing. That's a good thing. We're talking about eternity. Every human being has eternity in their hearts. You have eternity in your hearts. You are specifically designed to carry, to house the fullness of God. You do. You may not be aware of it, but you do. You're in the Ark of the Covenant on 2 feet. Nations came from far and wide to come and sense the presence of God. In the Ark of the Covenant, nations would come. Scripture does say that nations will come to the brightness of your glory. Of your glory. Nations will come. I think there needs to be a shifting in our thinking. You know, repentance in Greek is metanoia. The word metanoia means to change your thinking. You know, John the Baptist said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Change your thinking, because the kingdom of God is at hand. Whose hands? Your hands. He didn't come to make one temple to multiply it just into two or three. This wasn't just a little church plant. This was a multiplication of the presence of God that would cover the earth and be housed in the hearts of people. All of creation right now, it says in Scripture, all of creation is longing for the sons of God to appear. It's longing as if in childbirth and in child labor that the earth is longing and desiring to be released from the decay that has been set into it by the sons and daughters of God. Who's going to do that? We need to change our thinking. The mysteries of God go so much further than anything we can even begin to imagine. I'd like to read from Colossians. First chapter, beginning in the 26th verse. I'm reading from the Passion Translation. There is a divine mystery, a secret surprise that has been concealed from the world for generations, but is now being revealed, unfolded, and manifested for every holy believer to experience. Living within you is the Christ who floods you with the expectation of glory. This mystery of Christ embedded within us becomes a heavenly treasure chest, a hope filled with the riches of glory for his people, and God wants everyone to know it. Christ is our message. We preach to awaken hearts and bring every person into full understanding of truth. It has become my inspiration and passion in ministry to labor with a tireless intensity, with his power flowing through me to present to every believer the revelation of being his perfect one in Christ. Embedded in you. Embedded. That's kind of like a stamp. Deep within your DNA. Deep within the human heart. Is embedded with you the riches and the mysteries and all of who God's kingdom is and who you are. Not only does the Hebrew alphabet speak of who God is, but he also speaks of who you are. The most amazing name above every name is the name of God. It's funny because there's findings where they found in the Dead Sea Scrolls where they cut out God's name out of the patch because they felt like God's name is so holy that it can't, they don't want just anybody to get a hold of it. They cut it out. His name is Yod Heh Vav Heh. It's a Yod, it's a Heh, it's a Vav, and a Heh. The Vav in the center, which is absolutely amazing because Jesus spoke and he says, pray like this. We prayed it this morning. That as it is in heaven, so it will be on the earth. We all prayed in God's name, right? Right? We all pray in God's name, right? We are in his name, literally. The Yud is 10. The He is a door, which is 5. And the Vav is 6, which is in the center of his name. And the other He is at the end of his name, which is 5. Comes out to 26. The Vav in the center, which is the Hebrews even believe this, which is unbelievable, that the Vav is the number of man. Man is found in the center of God's name. You're in his name. So when you pray in his name. And Paul, when he went to Athens, he preached the good news. He said to the people of Athens, let me tell you about this unknown God. You know, I love the statues you made of all these other gods. That's all cool and everything. Let me tell you about the unknown God. He said, don't you know that in him you live, that in him you move, and in him you have your being? Don't you know that? That was the gospel. That was the message that Paul brought to Athens. So I bring that here today. Don't you know that in him you live, that in him you move, and in him you have your being? This is the passion and desire that Paul was speaking about, to share the good news. This is the good news. The good news is that you are a temple of the Holy Spirit. And another thing which is absolutely beautiful, you are not to take the Lord's name in vain. You're not. You're not to take the Lord's name in vain. Hebrews believe to say to God's name, the way you would say it, is like breathing. It's an inhale and an exhale. That's what it sounds like. It's an inhale and an exhale. So when the Jews believe that you are not to take the Lord's name in vain, it's not to take any breath without full intention and awareness of who you are and the gift that you have been given. That is taking the Lord's name in vain. Because when you breathe, because everything that has breath praises the Lord. Everything. That means your little chihuahua, your little kitty, everything that has breath praises his name. Wow, all of a sudden I'm feeling really surrounded here, right? I'm feeling like God's got this blueprint put together, and now it's time for me to come to know it, to explore. So when church closed down, Heather and I, we really just started diving into the Hebrew language. And we begin to understand a little bit more of how rich our salvation is. Have you ever thought of your salvation as being rich? It's scripture. The richness of your salvation. The fullness. Have you ever thought, what does the fullness of God look like? You know, Jesus says we ought to take every thought captive, right? Right? Every thought captive. It's like a battle word that hold them like an enemy. Look at it and bring it under. Bring it under the submission of the Word of God. Does that align with emet? Is that truth or is it a lie? Because we've been given a lot. We really have. It's beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful what we've been giving. And all God is saying, you know, that the scripture, be still and know that I am God, it's in Proverbs. And what's happening is there's a threat of war and the armies are coming in. And then God said, listen, I ask you to be still and know that I am God. But you wouldn't have it. You listen to the people that are saying that they have so many horses and that these guys are coming in this, but you wouldn't have it. But the Lord is asking every one of us, are you willing to be still and know? And that's the question this morning. Do you know who you are? Don't you know you are God's temple? And the Spirit of God abides in you? Have you built it to last? This is Heather's song. She wrote, how many years ago? 30. Do you want to read it? Sure. These words, it's amazing because after all these years, it's like the Lord really has, you know, released it in us. Do you want to share it?
I think I sang this song many, many years ago, probably 25 years ago, here in this church, with my dad backing me up with the guitar. I miss those days. Don't you know you are God's temple? His Spirit abides in you. Have you built it to last, or will it crumble? The answer is all up to you. God has assigned to each his task. What is he asking of you? Spiritual wisdom is what you'll gain if you trust and obey his command. So get on your feet, brothers and sisters. It's time you meet God's will for you. He's laid the foundation. Now he's calling on you. It's time to start building God's temple in you. Don't you wish you knew God's secret wisdom? His Spirit can reveal If you open your heart, then you'll imagine just what God has prepared in you.
Can we all stand? If you could put your hand on your heart, just put your hand on your heart. I just want to pray over this place. Lord Jesus, we thank you for what you have done. We thank you for the gift of life that you have given me and each and one of us. Lord, we repent. We choose to change our thinking and to believe that we were made for so much more. And Lord, I ask that you would just awaken every heart in this place to see that the kingdom of God is advancing inside of us. It's giving us new dreams, new visions, new hope. Lord, I ask that you would just fill us with your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
Remain standing as we join together to sing hymn 706.
607.
Thank you.
Lord God, we thank you for this day. This is the day that you have made. It's a day of revelation, a day of joy, and a day of life. Lord, we thank you for this life, and we thank you for all that you've given us. And we bless you with it. In Jesus' name, amen.